won't need much money at all. I'll minimize everything. And yet at the same time, they're not contemplating how they're going to provide a great service to humanity, just how little they can live on. I prefer saying, let's challenge ourselves. Let's get into the game. We're not out of it. Again, money doesn't care who has it. Find out your gifts, your talents. Mary Tyler Moore once said, three things help me to get through life successfully: an understanding husband, an extremely good analyst, and millions of dollars. As a counterpoint, Henrik Ibsen, the playwright, said, money is the husk of life, but not the kernel. It brings you food, but not appetite. Medicine, but not health. Acquaintances, but not friends. Servants, but not faithfulness. Moments of excitement, but not inner peace. Shakespeare said, they are well paid who are well satisfied. Do you know that saying by Hillel? If I am not for me, who will be? But if I'm only for me, what am I? Who am I? I want to tell you a story related to this, the political statement, and it's not just about individual wealth. See, my work is what we can control, and I don't have any clear control over the third world or poverty in another country, but I do have control over what I do in terms of how kind I can act and generous and so on with other people in my environment. It's all we can do. Let me tell you a story that helps resolve this issue about personal growth versus political solutions and helping the world. First of all, we need to be very careful about dealing with abstractions. The term the third world. There are times I'm on public radio and people always call up and I say anything and they go, yeah, but what about the third world? And I talk about meditation. Yeah, but what about the third world? Then I talk about something else. Yeah, but what about the third world? That's a way to be miserable all the time. Just contemplate the third world your entire day as you're eating lunch. The third world, though, is an abstract idea. It's not a thing. There is no such thing as a third world. It's an abstraction we use to put on less developed countries. But they're made up of individual people. When we talk about the poor in Africa, there are some people in Africa who are poor and mean-spirited. Others are poor and generous of spirit. There are wealthy people who are greedy, others who are loving, others who are happy, others who are sad. So talking about the rich or the poor are abstractions. And the third world is also an abstraction. So we need to get down to individual cases of how people are. But let me tell the story now. Socrates and I were walking down the street in Berkeley, and we came across some posters on the wall. Now, during this period of time, I was doing a lot of work on myself. Self-massage, the Mongolian warriors used to do this. This bone massage that the warriors used to do to clear fear from the body. I was doing self-analysis and internal reflections and meditations. All this work on myself. So when we came across these posters, it provided a counterpoint for my work. One was about saving whales and dolphins. Another was about oppressed peoples. Another was about starving children around the world. And I stopped and I said, you know, Sok, I really do feel kind of guilty. I know there's a purpose for all these things you're having me do, but I feel kind of guilty and selfish doing all this work on myself, like the me generation kind of thing. When there's so many people in need out there, shouldn't I be, you know, doing something out there? And he stopped and looked at me for a minute, then kept walking. And I said, Sok, did you hear what I said? And he just stopped and said, take a swing at me. And I went, what? What are you talking about? Take a swing at you. Did you hear what I was talking about? He said, come on, I'll give you $5 if you can slap me on the cheek. I figured it was some kind of test. So I fainted and played around and I took a swing at him. And I found myself in the next moment in a rather painful wrist lock lying on the ground. And as he let me up, as he helped me to my feet, he said, you notice a little leverage can be very effective? I said, yeah, I noticed. He said, well, the fact that you want to help people is wonderful. Follow that. It's a wonderful calling. But before you can effectively help people, you have to understand them. Before you can understand other people, you have to understand yourself. He said, at the same time, develop the clarity and the courage, the commitment to know how to exert the right leverage at the right place at the right time. What I saw in Berkeley, there was some very constructive action back in the 60s, but there was also counterproductive action. Many of us just go around doing do-gooders without being like the person who insisted on helping the older lady across the street. She's trying to beat him off with her umbrella because she didn't want to go across the street. Or people who sent to certain African villages powdered milk so they could eat. Well-intentioned, but they weren't unable to digest the milk. They were whitewashing their houses with it. The U.S. is such a big-hearted country. We want to help the rest of the world. But it's how do you do it effectively? And the rest of my life, since then, I've been seeking ways to exert the right leverage at the right place at the right time. We're going to talk more about this in the 12th Gateway, though, about providing a service. I want to emphasize, each of you has your own gifts. You have a talent that may remain undiscovered. Grandma Moses, what was she, 80 years old before she had discovered a talent for painting? You never know. There may be a hidden talent within you that you've never allowed yourself to explore. The best thing we can do for children is give them a variety of experiences so they can see what they gravitate toward. I'm going to read you two short stories to emphasize how you have a talent you may not have fully explored yet. And in that way, you can create abundance and ease and enough to share with other people as well in your life. Again, why do we want to do this? Do we want to do money for its own sake? No. But to liberate your attention. And the best thing about doing well as an author now is that the car breaks, I can just go, oh, get it fixed and get on with my life. I don't have to suffer and struggle. My God, now the car broke. Where are we going to get the money? If I keep a video one day longer, I don't have apoplexy about it. Can call relatives on the phone and not worry about the phone bill so much. These are nice things. They free us up. They're simple things. I love writing bills. I love writing to the electric company and the gas company because I help.